Celtic Thunder is at the Tillis Center. And at the Cold Spring Harbor Library and Environmental Center, it's Green Palette Open Mic Night with featured guest performer folk legend Bob Westcott, hosted by Joey Danza. If you're a local venue, band, or promoter, you want to get your gigs on the concert billboard, send an email to scene, that's S-C-E-N-E, at WUSB.FM. As always, thanks for listening to the concert billboard right here on WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:01 time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Very good, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this beautiful Tuesday evening, where we basically go over what's been going on in the world, read some of your letters, take some of your phone calls, hopefully spread a little joy, and then move on out of here before Finn comes in and ruins it all. Yes, brings us all down with all kinds of music that makes us think about life and where we stand and things like that. Hey, I'm joined today by a special guest, Kyle from Des Moines?
Yeah, Des Moines.
You know, it's interesting that you're from Des Moines because we get a lot of letters from listeners who happen to be from Iowa. And
No, you're mistaken.
No, I'm not mistaken because I read the letters and I see what people say, and they say they're from one person. No, I think was in Puerto Rico, and another person was in Des Moines, and another person was in Iowa City.
It's not Iowa.
Oh, no, it is. You don't get more Iowan than Des Moines. What does it mean, anyway, Des Moines? It's like, is it French? Des Moines? What does it mean?
D-E-S. Two words. Des Moines. D-E-S.
Well, I know it's two words. I wasn't born yesterday. But Des Moines, D-E-S, and then
M-O-I-N-E-S.
N-E-S.
Des Moines.
What does it mean?
I haven't the foggiest. I don't know.
Well, you know, there's nothing to be ashamed of there, because there is also something to be said about people from Iowa. You know, they're not the thickest grapes in the bunch. I don't even know what that means. I just made that up.
Just call me a thin grape.
I honestly don't know what that means. But, no, you seem to have something that you want to say about Des Moines.
Yeah,
I understand you're proud of your city, so please,
Des Moines,
by all means.
It's Des Moines, Washington. Washington State.
No, Emmanuel. My name's Emmanuel.
Oh, no. Well, I'm from Des Moines, Washington.
Oh, I thought you were calling me Washington. I thought you were saying, I'm from Des Moines, Washington. I thought that's what you were saying. You were calling me. And I was wondering why you were doing that. No, you're from where?
No, I'm from the state of Washington, the city of Des Moines.
Okay, you know, so what are you, like a time traveler or something? You're in two places at once? Is that how it works?
No.
You're from the
state
of Washington, yet you're from the city of Des Moines.
In Washington State, on the west coast, and the city is named Des Moines.
Sure. No, the city, I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about the city called George in Washington? That's really cool. Because you say, where are you from? I'm from George, Washington. That's what you mean?
You know, it's a lot like that. And you know, yeah.
All
George
right.
Washington, sure.
No, you're not from George Washington. You're actually from Des Moines, Washington.
Yes, this place all exists, right. And I've been telling you, trying to convince you that this is actual.
And you know I don't believe you for a second that there's a Des Moines in Washington. Why would there be? I mean, is it named after the one in Iowa? Is that, or is this completely random coincidence?
It may be, but I think it's independent of it. It's a small fishing town. They've got a marina and sort of a small community, and I don't know, it's totally existent. I don't know why you keep you
because
seem to be fixated on
I am fixated. It's bizarre
on it being in Iowa, and it really this
because
is
if you
there
ask
many,
anybody
there
where
are
Des Moines
many examples of cities that exist in other states.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Name another New York.
Okay.
All right then. So okay, you're from Washington State. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And here you are in New York, and we've been doing a lot of fun things in the last bunch of days. Just today we had an adventure. We had an adventure involving large canisters of bottled liquid that almost squashed us a couple of times.
Yeah, we unloaded a large truck. It was half a semi.
What does that mean? It's not an 18-wheeler.
Quite a full semi.
Yeah, it didn't have two wheels in the back. It only had one, but it was pretty big.
Oh, it was fairly heavy duty.
Yeah. You didn't want to be on the wrong side of that. But we were in receipt of more pallets of the Club Mate beverage, which for some reason people are going mad for in this country, and we happen to know how to get it. Nobody else does, but there's a price to pay for us getting this because we have to be in situations like this where we're unloading big trucks, and this thing is what? It's like 10 feet tall, filled with bottles, and you saved the day because you knew how to operate. What are those things called?
It's a hydraulic pallet jack.
Hydraulic pallet jack.
Yeah. It's not motorized, but it basically allows you to be as strong as 10 men lifting these pallets and rolling them from the back of the lift gate.
The thing on the truck that actually lowers it down to the ground.
Right. But I can't take all the credit because you helped. I had spotters, and that's crucial.
Well, I helped by screaming occasionally when it looked like something was going to fall.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little precarious. There were some situations I thought, you know, we're going to have some toppling and
we're going down. Not only are we making a 90-degree turn, we're going down a hill, and you've got this thing that weighs, I don't know what it weighs, but it weighs a lot. It's got 800 bottles on it, 800 glass bottles, 16.9 ounces each.
Yeah, it's over 1,000 pounds.
And when you make that turn and come down the hill, it goes pretty fast, and you know, you don't want to go that fast. You have to sort of slow it down.
Right,
and
we need the momentum.
You need the momentum into the warehouse. You need that momentum, but you also don't need so much momentum that you go slamming into a wall or something, or the bottles cascading over.
Yeah, and I sort of pushed back a little bit so it didn't roll too fast, but we needed that momentum, absolutely.
It was scary. We had to do that five times because we had five pallets to deal with, and
thankfully it worked. Not one bottle broken. So.
Not that we know of.
Yeah.
And also we are continuing our experiments with sending out cases across country. So far, so good. We're learning. We've made some mistakes. We've had some horrible accidents. Sending out individual cases where FedEx, UPS, they just basically played catch with it or something, and they missed. So we're getting over that. We're figuring out how to pack the things properly. And when we finish doing that, then we can actually really get people addicted to this substance. Always wanted to do this. Always wanted to be the person getting people addicted to a substance. You know?
Well, it's if there's
not
any
just a literary substance.
Do,
I mean a real substance.
No, it's a very tasty beverage.
Well, we can't advertise it. We can't say it's good.
Wow.
We can't say it's good. It's just it's a beverage.
I personally
all right,
enjoy
yeah. It's it goes down. Sometimes it stays down. What else? We've been wandering around the city. We've been wandering around Long Island. Anything that you think of that stands out particularly, or anything that you're going to have a lot of therapy to get out of your mind, or?
You know, I've enjoyed people watching and seeing the city sort of at street level, walking around with no real intent, not hitting some museum here and doing like your typical things, just sort of enjoying the pace.
Right.
And
sitting at a cafe for a couple of hours.
That's
been
the most fun.
Watching people walking their dogs by you and just conversing occasionally.
Yeah.
And we met the owners of Pretty Boy. You want to explain who Pretty Boy is?
Oh, yes. The cat that ran us. What
the,
block?
The mayor of 7th Street.
The mayor of 7th
Street. Now, here's the thing, and this is something I think Carl has learned over the last few days, is that New York is like a series of small towns, and the East Village is one of those small towns. And 7th Street, everybody knew this cat. And you wouldn't think this could happen in New York City, but there was this white cat. Everybody knew this cat. It was beloved and recently passed away. I think it was almost 20 years old and had lived a good life.
Handsome cat.
Handsome cat.
We saw a posting at this particular pet shop, and he's quite a handsome fellow.
Yeah.
I think all white or nearly all white. And
he had
a
very good
disposition.
I can
see why he was loved. I've never seen this cat at all, but we stopped by the shop.
I think I might have met the cat because I was at a cafe on the corner, and I remember a white cat coming up to me once when I was sitting outside. And I was, we were conversing back and forth a little bit. And there's a story, there's an article in the New York Times. If you look up Pretty Boy on the New York Times website, you'll probably find the article all about him. And they talk about all the various shops, the churches he would go to. I mean, he wasn't faith, you know, worshiping, nothing like that. It was just a cat.
He
went to everybody's door, and everybody knew who he was. And we actually met the people that that owned him, and we were conversing back and forth. And apparently, they're moving. Apparently, they're leaving that space and moving on to something else.
Yeah, they didn't seem very upset about it. They were closing up for the evening, and they're pretty pleased.
They were
accepting, embracing change.
They're moving on to something else, something better.
Yeah.
So hopefully, that involves still being in New York.
They did point out a memorial, though, that is still there.
Right next to the pet shop is
in front of the old space. Yeah. So it probably will remain.
And then you ran into Hector. You want to tell us who Hector was?
Whoa.
Yeah. Whoa, oh, indeed.
Wow. Well,
that was something else.
Hector is the proud owner of one of the most phenomenal art bikes I've seen.
Art bikes
ever.
Now, what is an art bike? And you're into bicycling, so you might want to tell us something about that.
Yeah, I'm into bicycling, but the more I've gotten into it, the more diverse and varied I've realized it is. There's a lot of different type of bicycles and a lot of different type of people that ride on them, and one of those types is an art bike, and they tend to have, well, pretty much anything the owner wants on their bike, and these people can get very detailed and intricate. And Hector had this elaborate bicycle. I don't even know how you would describe it. We were able to get his permission to photograph it, but
I had my camera with me, so we can call up the picture.
He had mirrors, all sorts of sparkling glitter and ornaments. I think he had a plastic sword on the back. He was clear though that was just for decoration.
I saw a portrait of the Virgin Mary in the front.
There were quite a few. Yes. Maybe even a figurine. I think Christ was on there somewhere.
He had grown up in the East Village,
yep,
and remembered it well. I think he lives in Staten Island now, and was telling us all kinds of history, folklore, things like that.
And this bike is just really well maintained, and it was amazing.
I'm handing you a picture of the bike
to
now.
Wow. Yeah, he had, oh man, streamers and all different colors, various baskets and things to hold on to all his stuff. I think he had a radio on the front, he mentioned. And
we just happened to walk outside. We were inside a place. We came out, and there he was. And we just, you know, this is what you do in New York. You just start talking to people. And you'll find that people are very friendly, very conversant in what it is they're into.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he knew everything about this bicycle. He told me where he's getting parts new stuff. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, he got great deals, or he rebuilt this, or he'd found this brand new part in garbage and, you know, rebuilt it and got it working. And, I mean, to anybody else, I don't know. I think the casual observer would say some of these bikes look maybe a little junky. Maybe they're not quite as, you know, clean or you know, expert looking.
So
but
what? You know,
it's a labor of love for people. And
exactly. It's something you take pride in. It's something that obviously that he thinks about a lot, and it gets him around. And
yeah, and he was just casual. He was just eating some chips, and we stopped and asked if we could check out his bike, and he really was approachable and so nice and just excited that we appreciated it and just wanted to share with us everything about the block and pointed out, you know, where he had lived. I think you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
And just it was so cool to just be right there shoulder to shoulder with somebody who you know wanted to tell you everything about, you know, what he'd experienced. I think he moved to New York when he was 3, so he'd been there for like 60 years. I mean,
yeah.
this is somebody who's got history. He knows every detail.
And there is so much history in that part of the city.
Yeah.
Of course, all parts of the city, there are fascinating things to explore. But it tells you that what you see on the surface is not necessarily what's there. I know you've been to the city before, and you had a completely different outlook about what it's like. And here I think you got to actually speak to people and see small-town life, quote-unquote.
I would
plays
say.
Out. Lots of kids playing in the street. The dogs, of course. The dogs everywhere. The dog run.
Yes. Dogs are a major part of that
mm-hmm.
neighborhood in the East Village. I was blown away by how many different dogs there were and just how much fun people had and how deliberate people were. You know, they had routines. They were very well-behaved. There was, you know, all sorts of interactions going on with these animals, but nothing got out of hand. Everybody sort of took responsibility.
You're saying the people were well-behaved or the dogs were well-behaved?
Well, the dogs.
The dogs, yeah.
But the people, you know, well-behaved, too. They didn't get, you know, and anybody, you know, upset at someone's dog for, you know,
right.
approaching another dog. And
yeah, there's a lot of playing and goofing around inside, but nobody really, there were no attacks going on. Everybody
no,
was having,
no.
Having,
nothing
having
nothing
fun.
Terribly serious. Everybody was happy. Yeah. They're very happy dogs, I'd say.
Oh, yeah.
And
That's cool. And we were talking about misbehaving, people misbehaving, the dogs misbehaving. There was one person who misbehaved, and I think we saw the results of that last night.
Yes,
we were walking down Avenue B, and saw all these flashing lights, and it was ambulances and fire department vehicles, not fire trucks, but various other types of vehicles they had. Then we turned onto, I think it was Fifth Street.
Yeah.
And all these police, the big police trucks were there with the response units. And I don't even know what are in those trucks, but they only show up to certain special events. And apparently there was this woman who was throwing bottles out of her window and just basically in a very bad mood. And the police on that block, they had their cars turned off. They had been there a while. The lights weren't even on. Everybody was just, I don't know what they were trying to do. They were on top of the roofs of all the buildings. I think they were trying to go down the fire escape and get into her apartment, which turned out to be on the second floor. So I don't even know how it was so hard for them to get in.
And people were mentioning they had been there for 2 hours trying to get in. And
everybody was
extricate.
On the street. Everyone had their own comments on what was going on. They were talking about the woman. They were talking about the cops. They were talking about the neighborhood. It was just basically, a night out on the town watching the chaos. And the cops seemed pretty laid back, too. It's just there were so many of them.
Yeah,
you know?
They had the first street all the way down, an entire block, and it wasn't even that street. You had to turn down the other street, and there was another entire block, and then, you know, fire line, and we could not cross and get any closer to the flying glass and whatnot.
Yeah.
Occasionally
we heard something breaking, but it just seemed it was... They said this woman has this reputation of occasionally freaking out. it's a serious thing when somebody does something like that. But at least it's only somebody throwing bottles out of a window. It wasn't a hostage situation or God forbid, firearms or anything like that.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was a huge emergency. Anything that, you know, if it had been more serious, I think they wouldn't have let us get so close. I mean,
right.
Geez, it was...
But I did wonder out loud, what would happen if I started dropping bottles out a window down the block? Would they all move down there, or would a whole other group of cops come? Because there were so many of them. It was a real turnout of just about everybody in the city, it seemed.
Yeah, it did seem like the center of activity for the night. I don't know.
Now, here's some news that I think might affect us both. Now, in this country, there's a holiday for nearly every date on the calendar. There's Hoagie Day on May 5th. May 28th is Hamburger Day, and that's actually true. I've seen that.
I had no idea.
Yeah, in fact, the place, I'm not going to say names, but the place we went to today to get the hamburgers we had, they celebrate Hamburger Day on May 28th.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
September 12th is Chocolate Milkshake Day. Boy, they dodged a bullet there, didn't they? Imagine September 11th being Chocolate Milkshake Day.
Ooh.
It would be totally overshadowed.
Yeah,
of course, they could have had it after. They could have proclaimed it. Well, I don't know. Who's to say? Okay, but now there's a new one. October 5th. was just declared Bloody Mary Day by
Bloody Mary Day
by New York City's Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Now, the Bloody Mary celebrates its 75th birthday this month. Its alleged creator, Ferdinand Petiot, known as Pete, mixed the spicy tomato-based cocktail in New York City in the fall of 1934. Yeah. Throughout this month, 20 variations on the drink are being offered at its birthplace, which is the King Cole Bar at the St. Regis Hotel, where Petiot worked when he introduced the cocktail to New York. Now, we had Bloody Marys the other day.
I had my very first Bloody Mary ever. Yeah.
And they say that it's good for nursing hangovers, and apparently in the East Village, Bloody Marys are a default part of brunch. In other words, if you go out for brunch on a Saturday or Sunday, or what they refer to as holiday Mondays, brunch goes until 4:30 p.m., which I think is a good time to have brunch go till. And unless you say otherwise, you will get a Bloody Mary.
Right, it's included, and they say that very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of your meal. So
yeah, so that's a little bit of history here. And I saw this article in, I believe, the New York Times, and they have all kinds of recipes for Bloody Mary mixes and things like that. Yeah, so that's a little bit of New York history there, New York lore. What else? Well, all kinds of things have been happening. You know, I'd like to take some phone calls today because we haven't done that in a while. So let me give out the phone number. It's 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. And maybe in about, 10 minutes or so, we can start taking phone calls. Of course, I'd like for there to be people out there, you know, people listening either locally or someplace else. I think the stream is working. I think we're on the internet, so I think people can call us from all over the world. That would be nice. Nice to hear from people. Now, Kyle, I know you've listened to this show in the past.
Yes, I've listened quite a bit. I'm a lover of radio and music, and I've never actually been on air.
Well, you seem quite good at it. Actually, it seems like you
Got
a good voice for radio.
It's approachable. It's pretty easy. So I thank you for introducing me to the medium. Yes.
Let me mock Des Moines before relentlessly, and didn't throw anything at me. You were looking for things to throw, but we put those away. Radio is magic. I mean, I've been in this place since forever, it seems, and so has this board, so has this equipment, but it's worked, and we've done some amazing things, and we'll continue to do amazing things because of the listeners, because of the spirit of the place. And yeah, that's radio. Do you have any decent radio stations out in Washington Way?
Yeah, there are. KXP.
KXP?
Yeah, 90.3, I believe, is their frequency. Yeah,
three letters, KXP.
K-E-X-P.
Oh, K-E-X-P.
I said it quickly, yeah.
Oh,
K-E-X-P.
All right. They're not as cool, but it still sounds kind of cool. Are they affiliated with a school?
No, K-E-X-P is independent. They're community radio, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. K-N-H-C.
K-N-H-C.
Yeah, C89.5. That's a electronic music station. That's affiliated with a high school, actually.
Really?
And they're broadcasting in digital, too. So they're... They're pretty hip down there at the high school. Another one is Chaos, K-A-O-S.
Okay.
That's at the Evergreen State College.
I've heard that as a great call letters to have.
Yeah, K-A-O-S.
We sort of stumbled into USB. I mean, everybody talks about, USB computer protocol and things like that. And, we had it first. And USB also means upper sideband and for ham radio people. So we have cool letters. And there's a K-USB, too, out in California, but they have nothing to do with us. So you've listened to radio for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really, really enjoy radio.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you listen to some radio stations here. We're talking about WFMU. You were listening to that in Washington.
Yeah. There's a bicycle shop that I frequent right in my town, well, in a place that I've recently moved to, and they stream it at WFMU there. So we listen to that in the shop.
And you listen to WBAI.
Yeah, I listen to BAI. I listen to USB. I also listen to KPFA down in California sometimes. I like some of their hip-hop shows.
And we can all do this. Yeah. Everybody who has access to the Internet can stream radio stations from all around the world, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
What we need is a nice, easy way to do it in our cars, you know, to be able to just plug something in and say, I want to hear this station now, you know, and not have to set up Wi-Fi and your laptop and plug it in and, you know, run off the road trying to figure out what interface to use.
It's approaching. I think it's going to be there.
I hope so.
Apps and new things everybody's got running around their pockets.
Yeah, don't have to worry about our god-awful signal that doesn't reach, you know, the parking lot or whatever. We can simply say, go to the internet and listen to us there.
Yeah,
and,
it's really nice. I mean, it's amazing that I'm able to do that. But, yeah, I can keep in touch, plugged in. I just have to remember the time change. That's all.
Now, we were listening to some of the really old radio shows while we were driving around, things from 1981 that we did, The Voice of Long Island. And I was commenting to you saying, you know, when we did these shows, we thought there were just maybe a couple of people listening. We had no idea ever that anybody beyond those people would be listening to the radio, to what we were doing.
Even with your wildest imagination?
Well, no, I had some pretty wild imaginations. Like if I was king of the world, for instance, I would maybe force people to listen to all the shows that we did.
Right.
Because we were recording them on cassette. So I guess, yeah, in my wildest imagination, I thought maybe people could hear that.
Thankfully you did, and now it's here. We can access it and listen to it in the future.
Well, now, that we're putting them one by one online. Week by week, we put a new, quote-unquote, new Voice of Long Island online. And we listen to them as if they're new shows, and it's really kind of cool.
I like Voice of Long Island.
Yeah, we're into October now. The October show airs the exact same date as the October show, as the date of October now. It's kind of hard to explain, but basically October, I think it was the 4th or something, or the 3rd. October 3rd, 1981. That show becomes available October 3rd, 2009. Yeah, and they're both Saturday mornings. So we're listening to that, and the temperature is about the same, and we're looking forward to the same time of year. School has started again. We're talking about some of the similar things, but then all of a sudden you get hit with a President Reagan said this today. You realize you're in a very different world, and things are just different. Different. I mean, the phone sounded so different. We had a different phone number. Things are mechanical. You can call up an operator and actually get an operator. That's number one. But number two, if you actually do get an operator, you can converse with them, and they're friendly. They talk back and forth. You can say, hey, what's the weather like where you are now? Or, you know, it's been a good day for you. And they actually are welcoming of that. And these days, you can't do that. We've changed. We've gotten, I don't know, hard or just cynical. Do you see that? I mean, you haven't been around nearly this long.
A little bit. Well, I particularly like the fact that you guys play vinyl albums, older media.
Mm-hmm. We still do. We still see these.
Yeah.
Turntables here. Yeah, we still play vinyl when we have.
But it was brand new then. I mean,
yeah.
It was like the latest vinyl. Here it is.
Nothing
fresh.
Like, hey, it's a new record from the Clash, and you know, putting the needle to the vinyl there. There's no better sound than that when you just put it. Well, you're not supposed to do that on the air, but you know, hearing it though, it just had a full sound to it.
And the freedom you guys had, the fact that you guys could experiment and just sort of be a little wild, be a little, you know, have fun and enjoy yourselves. I'm amazed that you guys developed your own structure and you didn't take that freedom and waste it. You were producing things, you were putting things together and building, you know, a lot of experience, a lot of stuff that you could share.
Well,
and,
you know,
now you can share it.
It all depends on what you have as a support mechanism. And the people here at the radio station provided that, and the radio station itself, of course, was a support mechanism. Working with Mike, the co-host of that show, you know, he was great to bounce things off of and to work with. And if you're lucky enough to have all of that, there's nothing you cannot do. And, you know, we can be as creative today as we were back then. There can be all kinds of new things going on, and there are. And there could be thousands of radio stations like this where people are being creative and just doing something for the sake of doing it and because it hasn't been done before. But we have to believe that it matters. And it really does matter. It really does make a difference. You'll find that people listen and they care and they want more. And there's no better feeling than realizing that, hey, it wasn't a big waste of time. I mean, yeah, it was fun to hang out Saturday nights or actually Friday nights and, you know, play around for 3 hours. It was actually fun for a lot of other people, too. You know, radio is so magical because you don't know who's out there. You never know. You're just talking into this microphone, and your voice is either going through the air or over the wires, through the internet, or both. And people listen in the future. You know, you hear yourself in the future, and maybe you think the same thoughts, and you reach the same conclusions, and it's kind of weird to do that 20 years from now. It's the magic doesn't stop. It really doesn't. So, yeah. Anybody who says radio is dying or radio is dead, they don't know what they're talking about. It's just maybe commercial radio is, because that never had much as far as creativity in the first place. They all tried to sound the same. I'm sure you have that, too. All the stations sound the same.
Oh, wow, yeah. They're pretty easy to pick out.
Yeah, and they all sound the same. I mean, you can't tell if you're in one part of the country or another because they all have the same accent. They all play the same music. They all do the same thing and try to be like each other. And it's just, you know, what other business model works that way where you try to be like everybody else? You don't try to be different. You don't try to, be the first to create something new.
It doesn't work. People know that it's not authentic. And community radio is going to be better in the long run for people.
I hope so. I mean, I'd like to see, I mean, it sounds like a horrible thing to say, but it really isn't. I'd like to see commercial radio die, and I'd like to see non-commercial radio pop up everywhere and have all kinds of people saying all kinds of different things. And it doesn't all have to be the things that I like. It can be things I hate, but, you know, people having their say, people having the access. And I just wonder how many people out there now would love to do radio but don't have the access. They don't have the means of just walking into a studio someplace and getting their hands into it and just playing around, making mistakes, and figuring it all out and getting better over time. That's something I think everybody deserves, and I just hope there's more of that. Okay, let's read a letter, and then maybe we'll go to the phones. If I see the phones lighting up, okay, I see one call on there. That's appreciated, caller. And please join that caller. Stay on the line and call us at 631-632-9872. And I finish reading this letter. If I look to the left and I see that there's a couple of lights lit on the phone, then we'll go into delay, take some phone calls, and converse. Kyle here from Des Moines, Washington, and myself and whoever else is out there. Dear Emmanuel, it's great when people send mail and say it's probably best if you don't read this, but, you know,
I'm reading it anyway. You're reading it.
Because people are self-conscious, they think that their words don't matter, and they do. Okay, this person's writing in to say, over the last few weeks, I've been rediscovering my love for The Clash, and it's in no small part due to the Voice of Long Island archives. There's something about hearing the songs in the context of their time that is particularly stirring. And in addition to this, I saw a live performance of Mick Jones with Carbon Silicon on a satellite station here recently. I saw them live. I was lucky enough to see them live a year or two ago, and it was incredible.
Really?
And it just brought up a lot of, I don't want to say soul-searching, but it smacked of honesty, integrity, and fun, something I don't see a lot of in modern music, at least within the mainstream, and I don't really see it on a local level either. Yeah, but you nailed it there, because that's exactly Carbon Silicon, and it seems to be just a lot of fun and really good tunes as well. And I'd go see them again any day. There's a little connection with the audience. Not Carbon Silicon, they're talking about, I guess, mainstream radio. But even though this was on a TV screen, I could identify with it. Okay, in this particular case, they're watching on a TV screen, not live, so
right,
no connection with the audience,
okay,
I see.
Right.
So I dug out my Clash CDs and went through a lot of sentimentality. Now, I'm 25. I missed the Clash's existence completely. However, the night in 2002 that I heard that Joe Strummer died, I was walking home from my then-girlfriend's house. I had my portable CD player in a coat pocket, and I was listening to Combat Rock. It was damn cold. As I turned the corner to walk down my road, I was on a height, so I could see it. That's a strange phrase. I was on a height.
I think it's a high note, like.
No, it means that he could see the sky well above the houses.
Oh, on a height.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yeah, physically.
Okay, all right.
I noticed a light in the sky, and I kept looking at it, and gradually, slowly, it faded into blackness. I was listening to Death is a Star. It's a song on Combat Rock.
Okay.
And yes, it wasn't all probability, just a cloud blocking a star out, but it fit that moment in time so perfectly that I'll never forget it. Anyway, if you get a chance, I think you should do what you threatened to do recently, a music-only show. I rather suspect music means a hell of a lot to you, too, so treat yourself. Well, you know, I do that all the time in my house, in my car, and it's just a question of time, you know. And I'd rather spend time conversing and doing something a little bit different, because you hear so much good music on this radio station. And I think if you just listen at other times, you'll definitely get your fix as well. And I'd probably get my fix as well. I'll be listening at the same time. This listener also says he misses shows of Off the Wall and Off the Hook every so often. And as fate would conspire, I missed the one with you under the Phoenix Park that's in Dublin in the train tunnel. And just to mention a potential issue with going underneath there on the day you chose, Irish Rail runs special trains to big GAA games, those are Gaelic football games, in Croke Park. And I think you were there on the day of the Kerry-Dublin game. In fact, I was there on that day, I remember.
What?
And Dublin's ass was kicked, I believe, by Kerry. Yeah, the people were very upset. They took it quite personally. He didn't want to make fun of them as they were mourning the loss of that game. Anyway, these match special trains run on the line that you took to Limerick and slip over to Connolly Station via the tunnel in order to drop people off closer to the stadium. So Of course, when we got down there, I think the game was over because everybody's already in a bad mood. Anyway, I'm glad you escaped that potential brush with death. Lastly, as always, keep up the good work. Through your shows, I've discovered the amazing pockets of culture which exist in the States. I've long since given up on radio in Ireland, which is where this person's from, obviously. But WBAI and WUSB and other independents I've gone on to check out have really impressed me and kept me listening because they're challenging and genuinely interesting. I don't think people realize what a gift it is to have free form or ad-free radio on the dial. Hopefully, it won't take their disappearance for them to finally get it. And regarding WUSB, say thanks to Finn for turning me on to some interesting new music I wouldn't have heard otherwise. And thanks to Spiny Norman for giving my ears the gift of Burt Wald and Frank Zappa's collaboration. Signed, Dave, from someplace in Ireland. Dave, thanks so much for that letter, and yeah. I can't believe you didn't want us to read it. It was incredible.
It's really nice.
Look at all the calls we have. Okay, we're going to go to Delay, and hopefully I won't mess this up too badly this time, because I always do. Okay, what we're going to hear, a special announcement from some friends of ours, and then I'll be right back with hopefully a show in Delay, taking phone calls, 631-632-9872.
WUSB Starry Rock!
And we're back. Here we are in Delay Land. Just give me a moment. Humor me here to make sure that that we're okay. Okay, we seem to have made it. That's the important thing. We're here. Now, Kyle, did you make it into Delay Land? Are you here?
Am I in Delay?
I think, okay, you made it. Yeah, no, once I had somebody here, and I made it, and they didn't, and it was horrible. Oh, it was like that episode of Star Trek.
Right, I think I'm here. I think I'm in Delay.
No, you are here. Right, and
good.
The callers are here, too. Okay, good. Everyone seems to have made it.
Terrific. Wow.
All right. What?
I said terrific.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, okay. You get a little dizzy, but okay. 631-632-9872. Let's take our first phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. What happened? Did I press the button? All right, let me try that again. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Can you hear me?
Yes. Ah. Good evening, Emmanuel. This is Bobson from Bulgaria.
It's the Bulgarian caller. How are you?
What's
up?
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Yeah. I was wondering what was up last week when the net stream was down.
Well, the net stream was down, but there's no way we can tell you that when the net stream is down. That's the problem.
Yeah, I decided to listen to Democracy Now! Last week on the WUSB net stream. And turns out it's down, so I decided to call and inform you, but I only got through to the office of 2600 Magazine.
Yeah, well, there's not much, I usually know when the stream is down, and there's not much I can do about it, because I don't have the ability to fix it.
I had to listen to the recording on the next day, so I'm glad it's up now.
Well, here you are live, so what would you have said last week? What do you want to say this week?
Well, there was a bunch of us on the IRC channel last week, but not that many people.
What is the IRC channel? Where can you get to that?
It's irc.2600.com.
Actually, it's .net.
Is it? Well, you should know.
Well, okay. I don't know if it'll even work if you do irc.2600.com. I'm not sure. I don't think that works. No, irc.2600.net. That's our IRC network.
And there's a hash off the wall channel.
So # off the wall, no spaces.
A hash, is it?
Hash sign, tic-tac-toe board, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, it's the thing that's, yeah. But, okay, so people, I guess, were talking about how they couldn't hear the show there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
New York people, too, which surprised me personally, but oh well.
Well, we do get some people listening locally. It does happen. they pick up the signal, and they can't turn away. So what's going on?
I wanted to ask you, did you ever get the pizza information to the Wisconsin person that you were talking to?
Did I get which information to the Wisconsin person?
The pizza information I sent you, having lived in Wisconsin for a few years.
Refresh my memory. What information did you send us?
Well, you went to Wisconsin, and a friend of yours there said that there's no good pizza in the state.
Okay, I think I do remember this. Yeah, because I visited Mike Juhas in Wisconsin in the spring.
Yes.
And
you an email telling you of a good pizza place that I know, which had grown in the past few years.
Yes, I do remember. I don't remember the specifics, but I do remember. I believe I forwarded that to Mike, and I think he investigated. I think he looked into it. I didn't hear any complaints.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. I don't expect to hear any, but
So now, what's new in Bulgaria these days? Are you guys any new elections? You qualify for the World Cup? What? Anything going on?
Well, nothing major that I can think of off the top of my head, but it's getting autumn is here.
Yeah, here too.
Some people I know who lived in Calgary were complaining that there was far too much snow there. But oh well.
What, now the snow in Calgary?
There was 3 or 4 days ago.
Oh, really? Wow. That's something. Snow in October. We don't have that. Do you get snow in your part of Bulgaria?
Well, we used to back in the day.
And you don't anymore?
Well, at times.
Okay.
Not as much as I'd want to.
Hey, maybe you can help with this, because I'm trying to figure out my winter plans. I want to go to the CCC Congress like I usually do, which takes place on the 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th of December. Are you going to try to go to this?
Here. Well, I don't think I'll have the funds to make it this year. But
yeah, there's no train that goes from Sofia to Berlin that's cheap?
No, it's not about the... It's about the lack of money in my pocket. It's not about the transportation as much as...
Well, yeah, but if you can get into the train, at least you'll be in the right city. And
That's a bit... besides the trains that... the trains that you know from Germany and the Netherlands, they don't reach that far south yet.
Right, right. Yeah, you definitely have to transfer. But, the question I have for you is... I'm talking to a number of people about this. What to do for New Year's? Like, maybe we can go someplace else for New Year's. I've been to Berlin and Amsterdam. Maybe we can go to Sofia for New Year's. Has something cool happened there?
Well, nothing major.
No, you're not much of a salesman for your country there. You got to you got to get people to come to Bulgaria, and then maybe fun things will happen.
Maybe. I don't know. In terms of New Year's, I would enjoy being in Amsterdam from what I heard from you.
Yeah, oh God, it's unbelievable in Amsterdam on New Year's. It's like nothing I can even describe, even though I've tried to.
But it varies here, year from year. Some years there's parties I go to with friends and all that, and we only find out it's the next year by the pyromaniacs outside who, you know, make lots and lots of noise.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we've got to go on some more phone calls, but I hope we see you somewhere. If it's not in Berlin, maybe the next Hope in New York next July or someplace. Maybe you can start a hacker thing somewhere in Bulgaria and invite a whole lot of people and we'll come.
Well, I'll keep that in mind.
All right.
I don't know. Yeah. If something turns up, I'll let you know.
All right. Hope to see you.
Great night.
Take care. And speaking of World Cup qualification, I've been meaning to do this. I've been meaning to congratulate the countries that have qualified for next year's World Cup already, because I've been keeping track of this. Of course, South Africa is qualified because they're the host. But other countries that have qualified are Japan and Australia. They qualified back in June, as did South Korea and the Netherlands, and also our good friends in North Korea. Yes, North Korea and South Korea going to the World Cup the same year. That's never happened before. And first time since 1966, North Korea is going. Brazil finally qualified last month in September. Wasn't sure they were going to make it. Followed by Ghana. That's right, Ghana will be there as well. England, may have heard of them. Spain, and finally Paraguay. So there's a bunch more coming, but those are the first ones. The first ones to qualify. The United States hasn't qualified yet.
Not yet.
We probably will, though. Probably will. All right, 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, Mr. Goldstein. How are you? Thank you so much.
How you doing?
Tonight.
Yeah, no problem. Where are you calling from?
Mount Sinai. I'm a regular listener, as well as I always try to get through, if possible.
Great. So what's on your mind?
Welcome also to your guest today. I mean...
Yeah, you know what? Let me just move the phone over so he can converse a little easier, because the microphone is sort of... that's as far as I can move the phone. All right. If you want to move your head over there... Then the microphone will pick you up and the phone will pick you up. Okay, go ahead. We're all set now.
Okay, well, I was, you know...
Oh, wait, no, hold on a second. Now we lost you. If I move the phone, it gets unplugged from the board sometimes. Let's try that again.
Hear me?
I hear you through the phone, but I don't hear you through the board. I never should have touched it. I'm going to move it back now. Hold on. Try speaking again.
All right, how's that?
Oh, you're back. Okay, good. Now, you know what? We just can't do it that way. You can put your head there.
Thank you. I feel welcome.
I'm sorry. All right, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to comment. You know, a few weeks back, you were discussing that poor girl that had been kidnapped by the older gentleman who kept her imprisoned in his backyard, what have you. And, you know, you touched on a lot of different things. And as I was listening to you, it only made me think that, you know, it seems as though we have the largest government with so many various agencies, whether it's FEMA, failed with Katrina, the FDA failed with the melamine in the baby formula, the melamine in the pet food, it killed all our pets. 9/11, I mean, you had these attacks against us. We've been preparing for attacks since the beginning of time, it seemed. And yet every agency seems to fail, and yet we have so many. I mean, we have so much bureaucracy. And I would hope that perhaps in a later show or a later program, you yourself, because, you know, I do enjoy your objective diatribes on various topics. I mean, you do have a deep introspective nature about yourself. And, you know, I do enjoy that type of, you know, discussion of things that, you know, we find discontent with. So, you know, it just seemed to me like that girl was in that yard of that guy who was like the top-level offender, had been on probation. He had people coming to his house. I mean, he was even in jail at one point while she was still living in his backyard. And how that could be possible, I mean, there was even neighbors had complained, and then the sheriff went to his house, and yet they didn't catch him. I mean, the girl was prisoned for 18 years,
mm-hmm.
and every agency that we pay so much money to have protect us had failed, and it just seems as though they're constantly failing.
Yeah, but the thing is, we can say the agencies failed, and I'm sure they did to a degree, but didn't the people also fail, people that should be looking out for each other? We can't expect an agency to come in and see every inch of somebody's house, find all the underground bunkers they might have.
But yet, the sheriff didn't go past the front door, and mm-hmm. it just, you know, and that's just one instance. And I do believe it was Berkeley University, the guard at Berkeley, or prison, what do they call it, security, was the one that the woman had picked up on the fact when he showed up looking to get a permit for some form of a speech he wanted to give or a protest of sorts.
Uh-huh.
And had she not picked up on it, that girl would still be held captive. And wasn't it also another Berkeley police officer that had the confrontation with the university professor, which we had discussed maybe, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, because they falsely arrested the guy in his own home.
Okay, I think you're talking about the professor in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far off topic, but, you know,
right.
Maybe at a further date, you know, I won't take too much more of your time, but you could, you know, yourself think about all of this, because it seems as though we have so much bureaucracy and so much government,
mm-hmm.
and it's one big mess. I mean, did you ever look in the blue pages of your phone book?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every governmental oversight available to mankind, but yet why is everything so dysfunctional?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can't even get health care. I mean, nothing, they've been discussing health care since Hillary Clinton's day and Bill Clinton, and yet they act like they don't know what to do, and they have no way of addressing or managing the problem.
You got to also look at the opposition to it, the well-organized opposition to any kind of advancement in health care.
Yeah, well, you know, I think we're at a point where, you know, whether it's bailing out the auto industry or bailing out the housing, the banks, I mean, they have to bail out health care, because what you have is a bunch of doctors and hospitals that nobody can afford to use.
Right, no, we have to change our outlook, period, because what we have now clearly isn't working. And anybody who says it is working is either delusional or just simply lying.
They're in the Politburo, they're part of the Blue Pages, and they're all covered. And it seems to me that the teabaggers are all people that are well healed.
Yeah,
they're
not going to be starting on those,
have to work for $17 an hour, you know, or $20 an hour wouldn't even afford you a visit to the doctor, ultimately,
mm-hmm.
without insurance. So what you have is a class of people that are being paid a minimal wage,
mm-hmm.
and they can't afford to go to the doctor. And when they do finally get sick, the hospitals or the doctors and the collection agencies take everything that they have left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they come in like vultures, and they bankrupt you, and they seize your assets. So, I mean, I feel as though, in some way, it should be based on income. I mean, if you only make $10 an hour, well, then they got to be able to build.
Oh my God, though, that's socialism then.
Framework, because that's the problem.
Basing on income, that's socialism. We're turning to the Soviet Union. You know,
yeah,
and
I don't know.
People buy into this nonsense. They hear those words and they actually buy into it, and they say, "Yeah, that's a concern." When if you just think about it for a second, yeah, that actually is a just way of doing things.
And that back to the blue pages. You know, you have so much government and. Basically, what you have is a government that they pretend to work,
mm-hmm.
we pretend to pay them. Because the taxpayers, at what we're being paid and what we're being taxed, we can't afford the size of the government that we have and thereby the deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Deficit spending. I mean, they're constantly putting an oversized government on the credit card, and the taxpayers are, we're floundering. We can't even get off the ground. I mean, I live in Miller Place, right, not too far from the university.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first bought my house, my taxes were $800 a year. They're now in excess of $7,000 a year. And, you know, they shovel the snow and they take the garbage away. And there really isn't that much snow anymore.
But there is a lot of garbage.
Well, school taxes and, you know, I can't afford to have children, so I can't use the schools. So it's just like, you know, they pretend to work and I pretend to pay them.
All right, listen, thanks for your call. Very interesting topic brought up. And, we saw the film Capitalism.
A love story.
That was a great film. Michael Moore's new one. And, you know, I encourage people to see that, even those of you who consider yourself to be capitalists, because, you know, it may seem as if it's hopelessly naive or idealistic and maybe even insulting to your values, but it actually will give you a lot of interesting things to think about, just how capitalism can... And not always, but it certainly can many times be diametrically opposed to what is right, what is just, what is fair, and what is best for you. And it's basically, it's capitalism versus democracy sometimes. And whether or not you agree with that, watch the film and see some of the examples and find issue with those examples if you can and discuss that. But don't not see it because you don't think you're going to agree with it. That's never a reason not to engage in something. What do you think?
Oh, I'm blown away by the immediacy of it. I mean, that stuff is happening right now, and I've never seen a treatment put out so quickly and tie together so many seemingly disparate issues so well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to gloat about it too much, but it was worth seeing.
Yeah, definitely, definitely better than I expected.
Given the opportunity, it was
and
good.
It strong finish, and the time just flew by. It was incredible. And it's just good for people to think about these things and to always have these issues. You know, it's we're talking about healthcare. That caller raised so many good points. But I think if you focus too much, I mean, we should focus on the size of the government. Yeah, it's bloated. There's too much bureaucracy. But you got to look at other reasons why things aren't working. It's not just because of that. It's because of people who are working against any kind of progress in this particular arena. The Tea Party people being one example of that. I mean, every Saturday, I drive down Route 25A. There's supposed to be anti-war protesters, which, you know, every week they're there. But they've been subverted. They've been taken over. The other side of the street are all these loud, screaming, American flag-waving people wanting Obama out of office and wanting their... It's amazing how they say they want their health care back, like Obama's taken their health care from them, when actually what the whole purpose of this debate is to give health care to all those people who don't have it. And to just basically make things a little bit fairer for everybody, and you know, you can blame the people in power for that not happening in the end. But I think you really need to blame the people around you for not listening, for not considering alternatives, and also, worst of all, for letting it happen, for being silent, for just having sitting back and watching people scream loud at town board meetings and get their way because they're the ones that are the most defensive. You know, that's something we don't have to take. And yeah, there are a lot of people who have differing opinions. There are a lot of people who feel fiercely about this. I think there are more people who feel differently. I think there are more people who are dissatisfied with the way things are now and want change. But if they remain silent, if they just think that these other people are speaking for everybody, then you know what? They will. They will
speak
for
you. Yeah, and it's not a conversation.
Not at all.
Got to have the dialogue.
Absolutely. Let's take one more phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, John from Shirley. How are you, man?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Very good, sir. You guys set the tone earlier pretty well. Is you were talking about you know, people getting into radio somehow that have no access to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did stream into the right show, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. Now, it's how I've been thinking about this honestly myself for a couple years, but, you know, I'm an engineer in construction, and I'm like going, how the heck do I break into it? Do I got to go back to, like, you know, Suffolk Community College and take, you know, the classes and take, like, this huge...
You want to break into radio?
Huh?
Are you saying you want to break into radio?
Yeah, who wouldn't?
Okay, come down and join us. You know, we're open to the community as well as the campus.
You never wrote back, so...
What's that?
I wrote you a letter and you never wrote back, so there.
Well, lots of people write me letters. I don't write back.
On the other show, I was
listen,
like, oh,
I don't know how to write, okay? Is that such a bad thing? I can't write. I just can't.
It's not
there,
that I can't write. It's like being unliterate. It's not that I can't read. I don't read.
Well, here's the thing, okay? All you got to do is come down to Stony Brook, and we have classes. I think it's once a semester. We have these training classes. And, yeah, you can learn radio. You can be on the air in less than a couple of months. But you can also just learn a lot and appreciate the place and help out. You know, we've got a fundraiser coming up next week, I think, or the next couple of weeks. Come down, answer phones, meet people, get involved. That's how it works. A lot of people get involved that way.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, and I can't think of any other radio station around that offers that. So you couldn't pick a better place.
I mean, you mentioned the Clash a lot. It is kind of the DIY, the punk rock ethic, do it yourself.
Exactly. No. Listen, thanks, John, for calling, and I hope to see you down here sometime.
You'll see me, I'm sure.
Okay, good.
See the big guy with all the tattoos that looks silly.
All right. We need more people like that.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. And that's going to pretty much do it for the phone calls tonight. Yeah, we had a pretty good turnout, I think. What do you think, Carl?
Yeah, that was good. I liked it. I've had a lot
of fun. Bunch of people. Yeah, Kyle, thanks for joining us from Des Moines, Washington.
Absolutely. I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
And I'm sure we're all going to look up on our atlases if that place actually does exist.
Oh, and all right.
You can write to us, otw@2600.com, and tune in tomorrow night for Off the Hook on the other station, Off the Wall again next week. And just want to thank everybody for being a part of this. Again, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn coming up next. It's Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Have yourselves a good night. Stay awake. Stay alert. Stay rebellious.